Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Freedom. We heard about that today in the gospel lesson. We hear a lot about freedom on the 4th of July. This past July, we celebrated the 241st anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was on July 4th, 1776, that declaration was signed. But the victory was not accomplished and agreed to until 7 years later in 1783. That was the day that the Declaration of Independence became a reality when we signed the treaty with England, ceasing that Revolutionary War. We see t-shirts today that talk about freedom. I think one of my favorites is the one that says, "Freedom is not free." That's certainly true for those people who gave their life during wars in the past to defend this country. But this is not the 4th of July, and it's not Veterans Day either. That comes in a couple of weeks. Today we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. In just a couple of days, we will be exactly 500 years from the time that Martin Luther signed and nailed that, his 95 thesis, to the door at Wittenberg. Today he would have posted it on Facebook or perhaps on his website. It wouldn't fit in Twitter. There are too many words. Luther began by saying these words: "Out of love for the truth and from desire to clarify, the Reverend Martin Luther, Master of Arts in Sacred Theology and ordinary lecturer therein at Wittenberg, intends to defend the following statements and to dispute them in that place. He was calling on the church to correct errors that he believed the church had fallen into. His biggest issue was with the Roman Catholic Church was that the church was selling indulgences. The church said that people could actually buy their way out of purgatory into heaven. The church said that if you have done something wrong, money will solve the problem. The church was offering freedom from sin by purchasing indulgences. They were saying, you can buy your way out of sin, to be free from that sin." But Luther realized that he was guilty of many sins, and so he approached the church for forgiveness by the confession booth, which was the prescribed way the church in those days asked for people to confess. And so Luther spent many, many hours confessing all of his sins, trying to make sure he remembered each and every one so that he didn't miss a single one. Because if he felt like if he missed one, then he was still guilty and he was not free from that sin. But try as hard as he might, he still felt like something was missing. Something wasn't quite right. He couldn't quite do it all. And so because he was a lecturer, a teacher at that university, he was reading the Bible and he came across Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. There he read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that anyone might boast." Luther had been seeking righteousness. He'd been trying to get right with God by his confessions and looking for things that he could do. And when he read this, he realized that this was not up to him. There wasn't really anything he could do. It was all up to God and by God's grace that he was saved. Salvation for him, he realized, came totally from grace of God, the unearned and undeserved love and favor of God. And that soul, that saving grace was solely from God, not because of anything he could do or anything he would be able to do. And so he was convinced that the church needed to reconsider its position. Luther summarized all of his points basically by what we call the three solas. We talked about those pretty extensively this morning in Sunday school. Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone. What a relief that must have been for Luther to realize that all this time he had been struggling, trying to be free from his sin and not feeling like he was actually forgiven. And now suddenly he realized it wasn't up to him at all. It was totally up to God and God's love and grace for him and God's love and grace for us. Now he could accept that his salvation was assured because he believed that Christ's death on the cross accommodated for, took the place of all of the consequences of his sin. And there was nothing that he could do or needed to do as long as he believed in his heart that Christ had died for him. Today, we too are freed from the consequences of our sin by God's grace and through our faith, and not by anything that we do or can do or will do. In the gospel lesson for today, Jesus speaks of freedom to some Jews. The Pharisees challenge his claim because they don't see him as the Messiah. They see him as just an ordinary preacher. The Jews of that time believed that they achieved salvation by obeying the law of Moses. And it was their notion that freedom for them came when they studied that law. But Jesus burst their bubble in the gospel lesson today. He says if they follow him and his ways, they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. But the Jews inferred from that Jesus was calling them earthly slaves, that they were a slave to some other person on earth. And that got them pretty upset because they claimed to be descendants of Abraham. How could Jesus suggest that they were slaves? After all, they were God's chosen people and Abraham's descendants. But you see, they were thinking of earthly freedom, and Jesus was speaking of spiritual freedom. But Jesus goes on saying that anyone who has ever sinned, which would include all of the Pharisees and all of us, is a slave to sin. All people, Jesus says, are sinners, and everyone who is a sinner is enslaved to that sin, and more importantly, they are blind to it. We don't appreciate that we have the capability not to sin. It's just part of our human nature. Jesus goes on to tell them to be truly, truly free from that sin. They must abide in him, and they must believe in him and his teachings and be obedient to him. But the Pharisees, again, are thinking of political freedom, the kind of freedom that we celebrate on the 4th of July, whereas Jesus continues to speak about spiritual freedom, freedom from the condemnation of the law, freedom from the consequences of our sin by what God cannot tolerate. As a perfect being, he cannot tolerate sin. You see, the law required that everyone keep the law perfectly. And if they kept the law perfectly, then they were saved, and that would be true. But no one can keep the law perfectly. They couldn't do it. We humans today can't do it. And so, since neither the Pharisees were able to keep the law, or we are able to keep the law, it cannot save us or them either. The law simply makes us aware that we are sinners. It convinces us. It shows us where we go wrong every day. And then once we are aware of that law, of the sinfulness of our hearts, then we have no excuse. The Jews also thought that they could save themselves by keeping the law, although deep down they had to realize that they certainly didn't do so perfectly. But they claimed to do that. That was the church. That was how religion worked in Christ's time. The church in the early 1500s had a similar misgiving, misunderstanding. Their thought was that somehow we could do some things to earn our way to heaven, to save ourselves. But Luther, from his study of the New Testament in particular, concluded that salvation comes totally from God, not from anything we can do for ourselves or we can do for anyone else. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was imprisoned during World War II in Germany, was writing to his fiancée while he was there in prison, and in one of his letters he said this: "When you are in prison, there is nothing you can do to open the door to freedom. Somebody has to open it from the outside. So it is when we are in bondage to our own sin. There is nothing we can do to open the door to freedom. Somebody, and that somebody is God, has to open that door from the outside for us." And yet we still seem to have those kinds of feelings today that somehow we must get some kind of reward for all of the good things that we do. Because after all, aren't we supposed to do good works? And the answer is yes. But we tend to think that somehow we are of the opinion that we get credit for, or we earn those points. We earn points to heaven. We earn our way into heaven. We earn God's favor so that, well, you've done a lot of good things, and so you'll get into heaven easier. We think to ourselves things like, well, I visit the sick and the homebound. I've attended over 300 church council meetings. I mean, isn't that worth something? I come to church pretty regularly. I make a contribution most of the time. I've done my best to raise my family and support them as well as I could. Isn't that worth something? And it is, but not to God. It's a blessing to the people that you were part of, the family that you raised. And God says, good job. Now, do you still believe in me? But we also know that we are broken. I think Lutherans maybe are more aware of that than other people are. And so every Sunday we begin our service with a confession and absolution, just as we did today. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. We have done a lot of things. We've left a lot of things undone. We've not loved God with our whole heart or our neighbors as ourselves. And because of that, we acknowledge that we deserve God's present and eternal punishment. And then in that confession, we go on to say, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Through your grace, have mercy on us. Renew us and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. And then we hear that good news pronounced by the pastor, who stands up there and says, Almighty God, in his grace and his mercy, sent his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins, sets you free from them, from the law that says you have to obey what you cannot do perfectly. And then we hear the absolution. The pastor says, and by his authority, by God's authority, through his grace and his mercy, all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our sins are forgiven by God's grace. God has mercy on us, knowing that we are not capable of keeping that law perfectly. And so he offers us freedom from that law by what he does and not by anything that we do. And so we are granted salvation as a gift from God and not by anything that we have done or will do. And twice a month we come to that communion rail. And once again we confess all the sins that we know about as well as those that we don't know about. And we receive Christ's body and blood. And then we hear those words of dismissal. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. You have freedom from the law that says you must keep it perfectly. You have freedom from the consequences of your sin. It's not by anything that you've done, but you have freedom from your sin that comes from God Himself, from His grace, and from His mercy. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.